Welcome to a place where two HR professionals, who happen to be twins, by the way, have shop talk about HR, careers, and all the things you want to say at work but won't. The Career Salon is a place to relax, a place to learn, and a place to be yourself.
This is a judgment-free zone where we put it all on the table to become better. We learn many things from our guests and hope you grab a couple of things to take with you as well. We spend most of our time at work, so let's talk about what that means. Come on in. The salon is open.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Career Salon Podcast with the HR Twins. Our guest for this episode is none other than Asia Mew. Asia is a former social worker turned communications professional whose passion is helping people achieve their passion. It was the time she spent working with service members transitioning out of the military after returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan that Asia realized the power of hope. As her clinical practice winded down, Asia walked away realizing that hope is a key element in progress and inextricably connected to purpose. Without that purpose, human beings lose focus in life. After giving up her social work career in 2016, she set out to help people develop purpose and hope through career strategy and coaching. Her resume company, Aim High, was created to help identify and fully articulate the depth and breadth of job experience and match it to the jobs you want. Asia holds a PhD in strategic communication from the University of Oklahoma, an MSW from Howard University, and a bachelor's from California State University, Fresno. She is a freelance writer, and her work has been featured in the Norman Transcript, Dallas Morning News, Territory OKC, OU Daily, and Renovator Magazine. Ms. Mew represents the Yay area and calls Oakland, California, her first home. Please welcome Asia to the Career Salon. Oh, we're on. Thank you, Carla. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Career Salon Podcast with the HR Twins. And I'm glad that we're back because we have an exciting show, exciting episode for you all today. And always, I want to start by prefacing thank you all for supporting our show, being longtime listeners, and even to our new listeners. We have a great guest for you in the salon today, and her name is Asia Mew.
Woo!
And
thank you.
She is amazing.
Oh.
And I mean that.
I'm here for it.
She is a doctor. And we're going to have her, already read her bio, we're going to have her give you all the 411 on her background and like how she got into every social worker, communicator, DEI,
writer,
resume builder, writer. Oh my gosh, like the quintessential ultimate black woman.
It's cameo. It's sounding like a CVS receipt.
Okay.
It's giving CVS receipt.
Right.
That's perfect.
So welcome to the Career Salon, Asia.
Woo-hoo. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so
now,
excited.
Asia, is this your first podcast?
This is my first podcast. Yes.
Thank you for blessing us.
Okay.
I appreciate y'all for having me. Really, I do.
Yes. And our audience should know you. So this is totally off the cuff, you all. So, and Asia doesn't know what questions we're going to ask her or anything, but she's a communicator. So let's go. So Asia, if we had to ask you, which we tell our audience all the time that you need to have, is an elevator pitch, right? So you were networking and you went up to someone and you had to in 90 seconds, tell somebody a little bit about yourself, what you're all about. What would you say? So go, Asia.
I would say that I believe really strongly that organizations have a responsibility to do good in the world. Just as I have a responsibility to do good in the world, I believe that corporations and organizations have that same responsibility. And so what I try to do is work on behalf of those organizations to help them do good in the world.
Yes. I love that. But I have a question to follow up on that. Elevator yes. pitch and good in the world. What does good look like? And does yes. that change? Does that change by industry? Does that change by what the focus of the business is? What does good look like? What's your definition?
Yes, that's a good question, especially because I spent all day today writing about what good looks like from a race perspective. So my dissertation actually looks at corporate social responsibility and race. And so when I talk about corporations doing good in the world, I'm thinking about how they use their dollars to create equity in the world. And, you know, for some folks, equity is race. For some folks, that's environmental equity. You know, that's gender equity, sexual, you know, all the equities. But because I used to be a social worker, I believe really, really strongly in like the value and worth of people. That everybody has dignity and worth on this earth. And so I really believe that it's the responsibility of individuals and organizations to contribute to making that happen and to communicating that to the world.
I love that. And when we talk about those things, how challenging is that? Since you have a specialty in dealing with humans as a social worker, as being a DE&I advocate, you know, trying to get people to be aligned and resolve themselves in order to carry on a conversation and communicate and push things through and get results. Mm-hmm. How challenging is producing that good in the world with humans with different mm-hmm. personalities, different traumas, yeah. different skill sets, different opinions, beliefs, value systems? How do you bring that all together yeah. for that common goal?
I think that's a really, really good question. And I think about it in terms of like, what can we all get behind, right? What are some, you know, common ideologies that we can all get behind, or some values that we can all get behind? And I think it doesn't matter what color you are, how old you are, where you come from. I think everybody wants to be respected and valued.
Yeah.
Right. And I think imbuing those types of goals in an organization can get the entire organization on board for like making that happen, right? Because that's not, you can't dispute that. That's not, you can't, no human being can dispute wanting to be respected and valued by their friends, by their families, by their workplaces, by their religious institutions. It doesn't matter the organization, as that, if that's a value that's embedded in it, everybody is gonna get behind it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think once you start throwing other stuff in there, though, right? I think where we start to see the divisions is when you start to then separate out respect and value by some of these like social classifications, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, well, I'm older, so I should get more value, or I am this particular race, so I should get more yeah. value, or I am an underserved minority, so I should get this. That's when you start to see fighting. And I feel like those things are really, really important. But in order to first get everybody on board, there has to be an acceptance of like that as a means for humanity. Yeah.
I would agree with that. Yeah, yeah. There are some certain core things
yeah.
that we all as a human race should be able to get behind and go absolutely. For. I absolutely agree. Camille, sorry.
Yeah. See, Carla, taking over.
I was on a roll. I just wanted okay. to know.
I'm curious too. There's a lot of social workers. I think it's a thankless job, right? We need social workers. But I'm curious, I've never met a person who is disciplined in communications, also in social work. I think that gives it a little nuance that I've never seen before. because lack of communication is really a barrier to a lot of things in organizations and between humans. And so I feel like a social worker with a discipline or background in communication is really something that elevates the role and gives you strengths. But I'm curious though, how do you think that your background in comms really contributed to you being a really good, you know, social worker? And I don't know your social work background. I'm just assuming because we know a little bit about you that you were an excellent social worker.
I think I was a pretty decent social worker. I think so. But I want to make it clear that I was a social worker first and then moved into communications. So, and my background in social work was trauma. So I was a domestic violence, sexual assault, and then I ended my career in working for the military with soldiers who were coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan who were sick, injured, or ill on active duty orders. So my responsibility was to transition them out of the military or to kind of help them figure out what was next in their lives. And that's really how I got into... It's really how I got into resumes more so. So like career planning, but social work really prepares you to be an awesome communicator, especially because I was doing clinical work, right? So I was working directly one-on-one. And one of the things that's really important is that you are really clear, right? About what you are saying to folks, that you help other people clarify what they're trying to say, because lots of folks like kind of know what they want to say, but they can't necessarily articulate it. So your goal is to help them articulate whatever is going on up here. The other thing I think social work did for me as a communications professional is being okay with being wrong, right? Mm. So one of the things that you're always doing with folks is saying, this is what I'm perceiving. Is what I'm perceiving correct? And they'll say yes or no, right? No. And so it's the clarification of what's happening that allows you to be wrong and be okay with it, because you have somebody else trying to tell you what it is that they need you to hear. And so I think that helps me synthesize ideas, right, in a room where people are sharing with me what they want communicated. Then I'm able to help them clarify it, even for, okay, are you saying this or do you mean this? Do you mean this or this? Right. And I'm okay with not getting it right so that I can get it right.
Yes, I love that, because so many people are in denial and they go into situations knowing they're right or not wanting to be wrong. And so that continues like to perpetuate like good communication. And obviously I need to work on my communication, because reading is fundamental. And I totally read that backwards.
It's okay.
Listen, I'm like the CVS receipt, and I just got my details transposed. So my apologies. And we're not taking out the bloopers.
what I hear in that too is there's a certain level of humility in communication that you learn. And a lot of people don't have that. As Camille said, they listen so they can speak. As soon as you, they're not active listening. They want to speak as soon as you say your last word, or maybe even before. And I'm guilty of doing that. Not because I want to, it's just because I'm be so excited about talking. but I know that I find that you're saying that humility and communication makes for a better conversation, and also comes to a better resolution when you're trying to figure out stuff and asking more questions.
Absolutely. I mean, also, you got to think about, you know, what do I do communications for, right? So most people who are engaged in communications are doing it so they can tell a story. The question is, whose story are they telling, and whose like version of the story are they telling? And, you know, so I work for the National Conference on my real job, right? Because we start this off with, I got 1,000 things going on. So my job at the University of Oklahoma, I work for the National Conference on Race and Ethnicity in American Higher Education. And my job is to do project development, to expand the conference, to expand the center that I operate out of, and also to do fundraising. So am I fundraising for myself? No, I'm fundraising for the issues, right? And so that changes then, like, what I'm supposed to be listening for and talking about. You know, I'm raising money to support professional development for folks who don't have access to these kinds of learning opportunities, right? And so my goal is to get people learning opportunities. And I do that through communications, right? So people who are in comms, you know, what are the stories that they're trying to tell? I'm a part of a league called Public Interest Communications. It's an association out of the University of Florida. That's where it started. And it really is a field of communications that's around these kinds of social justice and equity issues.
Wow, that's awesome. And it's a perfect segue into your third career or in terms of communicating and going into resumes. Before we get to that, I want to talk about resumes, but we also want to take a break and hear from our sponsor.
We would like to take this time to thank our sponsor, Black in HR. Black in HR gives its members a growing network of like-minded professionals to connect with for jobs, coaching, courses, mixers, and events. Black in HR was founded in 2017 and has grown into a powerhouse for skilled Black professionals around the world. Want to know more? Want to do more? You're not in HR? That's okay. They have the collective and elite membership opportunities. The membership program is an inclusive space and encourages diverse professionals to network, share jobs, and grow the platform. The community is made up of talented, diverse professionals from every field. Want to know more? Visit TheBlackInHR.com.
Okay, we're back. So the question for you in terms of the segue into like your communications and translating to telling people's stories through resumes. Now, I'm a recruiter by trade. I've been doing this for 18 years. And it doesn't matter what level of employee I've seen, people struggle. Like, resumes have people in the chokehold, right? Like, they don't know what to write. I see so many resumes that are a copy and paste of the job description that they're doing. But it's like, that's the job description. What are you actually doing from day to day? How have you have made impact? What projects have you worked on? And they just have a problem. They could be a VP making $300,000. And they still need help writing a resume. Why do you think it's so hard for people to translate their stories to a CV or a resume? And then what made you want to transition kind of your skills to help people in this way?
Let me start with the last question first, because it really did come out of my social work career, right? So like as I was working with soldiers who were transitioning out of the military, so much of their identity was wrapped up in being a soldier that they couldn't see themselves outside of a military context. So they were leaving and they were terrified. They were like, who am I? Nope, I don't have any value. I don't even have a resume. I don't know what I do. All I know to do is shoot people or fix guns or, you know, whatever it was, right? And so much of the work that we were doing was around like hope, right? And like, and purpose, utility, function. They really had a strong desire to understand what their function was in the world, not just in the military. So that's really how it evolved past just like, I can redo your resume for you. It became a deeper purpose for me. But to your second question around like, why is it so hard? I think there are some folks that struggle with articulating their own value. I mean, that's the majority [S2] Wow. [S1] Of the people that I see.
they know that they have value in the world. They just don't know how to say it, right? They don't know how to say it. And so, you know, so much of the work that I did as a social worker was around helping people understand their strengths. Like, what is it that you do good? You know what I mean? Like, what is it that you like to do? What is it that you enjoy doing? So I also developed the skill of asking, not just asking questions, but asking smart questions, right? That got at something else. So people don't really know how to articulate their value. Some people really don't know what their value is. They really don't, right? Like, oh, I worked with a gentleman who was a loan officer, and he was a loan officer for decades and decades and decades. And so all he saw himself as was a loan officer. That's all he saw himself as. But then when we really drilled down, you know, he wasn't just a loan officer. He was a Latino gentleman who worked in a Latino area community and was doing banking in his community as a Spanish speaking person, giving Latino folks access to banking resources in the community. And I was like, oh, gee, that's different, yo. I'm like, that is different. You are not just a loan. Like, you do community banking. And that's significant in terms of equity. Right. And he had talked about going to a different, bank in a different area that was more ritzy and, you know, wealthy, and feeling really uncomfortable and feeling like he wasn't really doing anything important. So that is the value of a resume. And so, I mean, I do geek out about resumes in a lot of ways, because it's so much more than just like trying to get a job. It really helps to define people's work identity. Like, who are you? What is your value? What is your function and utility in the world? That man went from just being a loan officer to like being a community banker, right? Who works with non-English speaking communities to establish like financial equity and parity in neighborhoods. Like, what? That's so different.
I love it. That's
so different. I mean,
I
do this all the time, right? Which is, I think, so there's no standard for resume writers. There's no certification that you get. Well, I think there is a certification you get.
Yeah.
There's so many people out here that's just like calling themselves resume writers, and all they do is really just like redo your stuff in a different template and a different font. Yes. And that's it. And then just pack a whole bunch of words in there, right? But really, resumes are your story. It tells where you've been so that you really do understand where you're going. What's your next job? What's the next stop on this thing? You know what I mean? And once you can really get to a place where you can see where you've been, then everything that you do from this point forward will set you up for where you know this thing is taking you, right? But people they don't see it. They don't understand it. They just think it's just a means to get a job, and it's not.
Yeah. I often tell people, like, and I'm going to put this caveat out there. People ask me and Carla all the time, do we do resumes? Like, we don't want to do our own, so we don't want to do other people's resumes. And I think we told you that.
Thank you.
That's not my ministry. Nope. And I will ask, and even though I'm in recruiting and I know what good looks like and what something, a piece of paper looks strong, that is not, I know my ministry. So, you know, nowhere in my resume is it going to be like, Camille has helped people build their careers and resumes. No. You know, it really is. Now you have, you know, thousands of people on the market, like applying for one job. I know as a recruiter, like, thousands of people applying for jobs. What separates you from the 999 people in line for that one job? What separates you? And it's even if you contact someone at the company, right? You cold call or you cold email, they're going to tell you to apply. Right. And so that resume is a tool. And I don't think people understand how much value a resume has. It really does. And I think you talked about admitting when you're being able to communicate and know when you're wrong, or know when you need help, right? And I think that there's so many people, it's like, I'm gonna just put together this piece of paper, and then I'm gonna just start applying. I'm gonna use the same resume for every job, even though it's a different industry, different type of scope. I'm gonna just throw my resume together, copy and paste some stuff.
Yeah.
This was my job description as this job, and blah, 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 and submit it. And you really are not defining who you are, like you said. No. and separating yourself from the other people in line.
Not only that, but like some people get really pigeonholed in job titles, right? So they say, I'm a project manager. So I worked with someone a couple of weeks ago. She came to me and said, I do project management. And, you know, I'm trying to get a project management job. And I said, okay, like, that's what you want to do, like, for the rest of your life? I mean, no shade, right? Like, if you want, I told her, if you want to be a project manager for, you know, if that's what your career is, that's cool. But, like, is that what you want to do? Why are we building a resume around one position, right? One position, and not a department or an industry or, a, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so... So once we started talking about it and we processed through all of the things that she's doing at work, she's really not a project manager. She's really doing operations, right? Mm-hmm. She's really doing operations, and project management is a piece of operations, right? You are managing and executing projects all the way through, right? In order to support the healthy growth and function of an organization. Like, this is not project management. So after we finished, mind you, she had paid so much money for people to do resumes for her. She had a federal government resume. They didn't do anything but pack her resume full of words. They made it three times longer than it needed to be. And then, you know, it was just, it's so, but she said, my identity wasn't coming through. It wasn't coming through. Who am I? What am I do? What is my value to an organization? We focused on impact, budgets, right? Resource personnel management, the scale and size and scope of projects, how quickly she was able to execute things. That is different than tasks. That's different than job descriptions, right? And once we finished, we started actually looking for different types of jobs. Now we're looking at operations position. The first position that come up is an executive director. Now she can stop looking for project management jobs, right? Now she can widen her scope and go into sort of department level or like industry folk, you know, those kinds of things rather than these very narrowly defined positions.
Right. That's awesome. You just bring another level of like, you know, I do think like there are a lot of resume writers out here and it's like, yeah, you don't have any experience in recruiting or anything like that. But I also think there's levels to this, right? So I think that the value of your background as far as communications and really supporting mental health, supporting differences, supporting embracing what's possible is very beneficial to helping someone come into a new resume, which is a tool for them to represent who they are in the world from a work perspective. So I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yes, I love it. I think we're going to wrap up because we're hitting our half an hour mark. We try to keep it right there. But I did have a question talking about the future of HR. And I know you're not in HR, but you know, lines could get blurred or whatever. I know you worked in corporations. You're pushing for people to produce good in the world. What are some encouraging words with your background as a communicator, with your background as a social worker, that you can give human resources professionals or human resources people? We try to stay away. We're trying to stay away from defining professionals for people, for other people. But what are some words of encouragement you can give human resources in terms of the future of dealing with other humans and how we contribute and impact corporations trying to do good in the world?
As quickly as I can, you know, we see a lot of fragmentation in the world right now, right? Like everybody has an opinion about how everything should be. And I think HR professionals see that brought into the workplace, creating like,
yes, we do.
Yeah. Creating like
further fragmentation, because now it's in like a microcosm. Now it's not in the world, it's in your organization of 60 people or 100 people, which could be so much more fragmented. And so I think HR folks can think about how to set internal organizational goals that everybody can get behind. And try to reduce the fragmentation that exists in the world that's brought from outside into your organization by getting everybody on board with those goals. And if they start from the place of, you know, respect and value, human value, perhaps that's a way to reduce the fragmentation.
I love it. Bringing it all together. I feel like we should sing somebody's song at this point, but I won't belabor the point and disturb everybody's ears. But I know you have a business called Aim High with your resumes. How can people get in touch with you? We want our audience, if they need a good resume or a good conversation, they should be having some snappable, you know, some finger snapping points. So if you just want to talk to her and set an appointment or a one-to-one, how can they do that?
Sit on the couch.
Right.
While we get this resume done. That's right.
Right.
You can visit me at Aim High Resume, no S, aimhighresume.com. And we're on Facebook and we're on Instagram. And all of my consultations are free. Pricing is on the website, and I encourage everybody to go over there.
Thank you so much. I feel like I think our audience will receive so much. I mean, like, you, we could probably talk to you for like hours and hours, right? Like, you have so much to give, right? And I think it's amazing that you're helping put good in the world and helping others put good in the world, because that's what we need, right? I feel like we need to pay you, like, to pass around the offering plate. So if you need your resume done, go see Aja, right? Because we should pay her for being a guest on our podcast. But we thank our audience for always supporting us and joining us for this episode. And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
This is Carla, the HR expert.
And this is Camille, the recruiting expert.
And we're the HR twins. You just finished an episode of the Career Salon podcast.
Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms at the Career Salon. And don't forget to subscribe and follow on all podcast platforms for upcoming episodes.